Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Having a baby in the neonatal intensive care unit can be quite an overwhelming experience, and while parents of twins may be counting the days until they can take their baby home, there's still much to consider once the babies leave the hospital. I'm Karen Qureshi, a pediatric physical therapist who works in the NICU at Tri-City Medical Center, and today we're talking about follow-up and outpatient care after your twins are released from the NICU. This is Twin Talks.
The ultrasound shows your babies to be healthy.
What? Did you say babies?
You're huge. Are you having twins?
Are they natural?
Which one do you like better?
Twins, huh? My neighbor's cousin's brother's uncle's a twin.
So can they read each other's minds?
How do you tell them apart?
Twins? You got a two for one.
Do twins run in your family?
Double trouble.
You're not having any more, are you?
At least you're not octomom.
If you're pregnant with twins or you're an experienced twin parent, odds are you've heard it all before. Now it's time to hear from the experts. This is Twin Talks, parenting times two.
Welcome to Twin Talks, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Twin Talks is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for expecting and new parents of twins. I'm your host, Sunny Galt. Have you heard about the Twin Talks Club? Our members get bonus content after each new show, plus special giveaways and discounts. You can subscribe to our Twin Talks newsletter and learn about the latest episodes available. And another great way for you to stay connected is by downloading our free Twin Talks app. It's available on the Android, iOS, and Windows phone. And I should say, I'm actually guest hosting today because Christine, our host, is celebrating a birthday. So, you know, we thought we'd give her the day off. So before we get started today, I wanted to talk about an article that I found online, which I found absolutely amazing. We don't have any panelists today, but I asked Karen, our expert, to chat with me a little bit about this topic. This is from ABC News, and the headline is, Quadruplet Mom-to-Be Has Emergency Surgery to Save Babies. This is pretty amazing. The mom, her name is Ashley, and she made headlines originally when she got pregnant. She and her husband had been getting some fertility treatments and trying really hard to have a baby, and they end up implanting two embryos, and both of those embryos ended up splitting, resulting in two sets of identical twins. And so she's making headlines again because she needed to have some emergency surgery. She was in her 19th week of pregnancy, and doctors found evidence of twin-to-twin syndrome. And that's basically when there's an imbalance in the blood supply between a set of identical twins in the placenta. And so they needed to go in and get the babies out early. And according to doctors, the surgery was a success. We haven't heard if all the babies made it. As you can imagine, 19 weeks, the babies were pretty small. This article actually doesn't give a lot of details about the size of the babies. But we do know, this is just amazing, that a mom was able to conceive identical twins, two sets of identical twins at once. We know that it's a 1 in 70 million chance that that could happen. So, Karen, I'd love to have your take on this as someone who has been in the NICU. Have you seen even quadruplets before?
I have never seen quadruplets in the NICU before. We've had triplets in there before.
Okay.
But I've never even heard of the, you know, having two sets of twins and both being identical. That's pretty amazing.
Oh my gosh. Nice. What usually happens even in a triplet situation? Is it usually fraternal? Is there sometimes an identical set and then a fraternal twin?
It can be either way. We've had both things in there where there's two that are identical twins and then one separate that's a part of the triplets.
Okay.
So I've never seen three identical triplets though either.
Oh my goodness. That's crazy. And even with triplets, which you have seen, I know you say you haven't seen quadruplets before, but you're talking about really small babies usually when they come out, right?
Yeah. Most of the triplets that we've had have been under 2 pounds. So they are very small.
Oh my gosh. So I would imagine with quadruplets, they're even tinier than that. Yeah. And at 19 weeks.
At 19 weeks, it's hard to tell.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we certainly wish the best for this mom. And hopefully all the babies made it. I just think that it's amazing that that this happened in the first place. So, Ashley, if you're listening out there, congrats on your babies. And we hope you're doing well.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Today, we're continuing our series that takes a closer look at what happens inside the NICU. And this episode is about what happens when your babies leave the NICU and they start receiving outpatient care. Our expert is Karen Qureshi. She is a physical therapist in the NICU at Tri-City Medical Center, which is right here in the San Diego area. So, Karen, welcome to Twin Talks.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So, let's talk a little bit about the discharge process. So, what criteria is used to determine whether it's one baby, two babies, because you may not have both your babies in the NICU. Maybe only one baby needed it, right? So what is the discharge process like?
Our discharge process consists of several different things. And the criteria that we have that we go by, that most NICUs go by, is first, the baby must be able to breathe on their own independently. We also make sure that the baby can maintain their temperature. So this means if they were in an isolette, they have to be able to maintain their temperature to actually come out of that to be in what we would call an open crib. They must be able to take all their feeds by mouth, whether it's breastfeeding, which is what we prefer, or by the bottle. And then once they're able to do that, they also have to show that they can gain weight every day. So once they are full and taking their full feeds by mouth, we'll keep them for another day or two until we know that they are gaining weight while they're taking these feeds by themselves.
Okay. And so if they meet all of those obligations or that set of criteria, then they're probably going to be discharged.
Yes. They'll be within a day or two, they'll be discharged. And it's not uncommon for us to have twins that are discharged on two different dates. As much as we'd like to see them discharged together, it's very rare. Most of the time, one baby will go home, and then a few days later, the next baby will go home.
Now, does that have anything to do, because I can imagine as a new parent, there's still a lot of stuff to consider once you bring your babies home. Is part of that for the benefit of the parent, or is it really more just, well, this baby needed a little bit more care than the other baby?
It's just because one baby needs a little more care, just hasn't met the feeds as fast as the other one. Usually one's just a little stronger and gets to that full feed sooner, and so that one would go home first.
Okay. Is there anything, I don't think you mentioned anything regarding weight. Is there a weight?
Not anymore. There used to be a long time ago, but no, now there's not.
What's the smallest weight that you've seen a baby go home?
Probably around 5 pounds.
Okay.
They'd like them to be over 5 pounds when they go home.
Okay. When parents are in the NICU, and we've done a couple different episodes already where, NICU parents have, talked about what the environment was like, and there's a lot of machines, and there's a lot of beeping going on, and there's a lot of stuff happening, right, to care for babies. And I would imagine, even though the babies are able to do, quite a bit of things before they leave, that there still may need to be training that happens before they go home. Is there any ever equipment that goes home with them? Can you kind of shed some light? I know it's a general question, but what typically happens?
Typically, by the time the baby leaves, we don't send any equipment with them anymore. And what we like is within the last 48 hours prior to discharge is that they aren't on, they're still going to be on monitors while they're there in the hospital, but the parents aren't going to be really looking at the monitors. The parents are going to be taking care of the babies so that they're pretty secure when they go home. So we don't really send any equipment home with the babies. There's a lot of education that's given to them prior to discharge. They're required to watch specific videos. We have videos that they have to watch regarding safe sleep, shaken baby, CPR, There's a car seat safety video, breastfeeding videos, and if they're a first-time parent, they'll actually watch a video on baby basics. They're given a discharge packet, and this discharge packet will give them information that they need regarding car seat safety, and there's actually a list in there of where they can take their car seat to different places to make sure that they feel that the car seats are installed safely in the car. They also get information regarding safe to sleep or back to sleep program to prevent SIDS. And then depending on the baby, certain babies will get hearing screens. It depends on what your baby required while they were in the NICU. If you saw the occupational therapist will give you something regarding feeding when they get discharged. The physical therapist will give you information regarding development and adjusting the age of the baby. So if the baby was born premature, if they were born, say, 2 months premature at 32 weeks, when you take your baby home, you're not going to really want to think of your baby as a one-month-old baby. You're really going to want to think of your baby as not being born yet. So there's ways that we have to adjust the age. If they qualify for our clinic, they'll get an appointment for that. And so there's just different criteria. For babies born under 32 weeks, they'll need an eye exam. For babies born under 37 weeks, they'll get a car seat challenge, which is just to make sure that they can ride home in the car seat safely.
You know, that's actually, you know, my twins are now about to turn one. They were preemie babies. They were born at 35 weeks, but they did not need the NICU at all. And But before we left, they made us do the car seat. They didn't show us any videos, but we had to do the car seat check and, you know, to make sure that they could ride home and everything. So that's something that I'm at least a little bit familiar with. How long does it usually take for this training? I guess it's a two-part question. How long does the training take? I'm assuming that this may have to do with how much training you need, depending on your situation. But are we talking about days? How does this work?
We actually start the discharge process from the day they're admitted. We want it to be an ongoing process so that when the baby's ready to go home, the parents are very confident in their care. So as soon as they're admitted, we have the parents start to be a part of the care. The parents start taking the temperature, changing the diapers, and participating in the skin-to-skin contact. As they get closer to going home, then we may even, if the parent has concerns or if we have concerns, we'll actually ask the parent to come stay with us for overnight or during the day so they can spend the last so many hours just completely taking care of the baby.
Is there anything that's done prior to the baby's going home that, you know, would kind of check out their environment at home? Do you guys get into that at all? Just because the baby's maybe a little bit more fragile than typical newborns.
We don't, but our social worker is very involved, and there are nurses that can go out into the home and check on the babies once they've been home. And most of the babies that would qualify for what we call a high-risk infant follow-up clinic, because they are very small, under 32 weeks, there is a nurse that goes out to the home and checks the home and makes sure everything's okay there.
Is that done before a baby goes home, or is it after the baby's
home? It's after the baby goes home. The baby's usually been there for a couple of weeks, up to a month.
Okay. And as far as the people that, you know, we're talking about parents watching these videos and getting this education, but sometimes, you know, it may not be just the parents doing the care for the babies at home, right? There may be outside help. There may be a grandma involved or, you know, a number of factors. So do you encourage people to come in to get that education that would be caring for the children in general, or is it pretty much just the parents?
Because we don't want a lot of people in the NICU at one time, so we only allow two people at the bedside at one time. So if the parent is there, they can have another person with them. So in that case, yes, we very much encourage grandmas to come in and watch videos with the parents and to see what they can. But we would not have like a group of people. We wouldn't have like five or six people watching the videos at one time. But we would offer the parents to have somebody come with them to sit and watch the videos. We are starting up a discharge class, and that may be something we should consider in the discharge class for parents who, you know, in my family, I know that there's, you know, I live with my parents and my kids, so there's generations in my household. Sure. So I know a lot of households are going that way. So that's something that maybe we should consider and put into our discharge classes, offering those kinds of things for a group. That's a great suggestion.
Thank you. All right. Is there anything else that you would want parents to know before the babies actually leave the hospital? Anything about the process of them going home, that any typical questions that typically come up from NICU parents?
I don't think there's anything they really need to know. I just that there is a big change, I think, in the first 24 hours or 48 hours that they bring the baby home. And I think that sometimes that's most difficult because they're used to a very set schedule in the NICU. And then the baby's all of a sudden, you know, been in a car, been out of a car in a whole new environment. And then they try to put the baby back on that set schedule. And the baby just still needs like 24 hours to kind of readjust to the new environment. And so I think that first 24 hours can be the hardest for a parent when they come home.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what it looks like when you do bring your babies home, as well as outpatient care and what that looks like for NICU families. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We are continuing our conversation about what care is typically like once your babies leave the NICU. And Karen, I wanted to ask you, I know that you're in charge of a program. It's called the High Risk Infant Follow-Up Program. It is California mandated, so it's not just your hospital that has it, but other ones here in California. And you're able to actually track babies, what, 3 years out from their birth?
Yes, we get to see them 3 or 4 times within those 3 years. To see how they're doing and kind of look at their skills and see what they're doing.
I love it. So the idea of the program is obviously just to make sure the babies are doing well and that they don't need, you know, additional treatment, that everything's going as planned?
Exactly. It's we're really lucky at Tri-City just because with our HRIF program, we're a multidisciplinary team. Okay. So we have a lot of people who are involved in looking at a baby just to make sure they're doing everything they're supposed to be doing for their age. So we get we have a speech pathologist, the NICU nurse, a neonatologist, and our social worker. So everybody together gets to look at the baby and make sure that the babies are doing fine as they progress up to about 3 years of age. And then if they're not, then we'll look into what kind of services the baby may need.
Okay. All right. So let's back up a little bit and let's talk about, you know, before the break, we were talking about taking, you know, the process of being discharged and bringing your babies home. So let's assume that your babies have been discharged. You're now back at home, you know, and this may be dependent on the needs of your child. But what is typically needed as far as follow-up appointments after your babies leave the NICU?
It really is age dependent from my perspective. So if the baby's born under 32 weeks or if the baby was born under 1,200 grams, they would come back to that high-risk infant follow-up program we mentioned. If they were born, and some babies that are twins never make it into the NICU, so that's a great thing. And so really, when they get discharged from the hospital, within the first week, they have to go see their primary care physician. And then the primary care physician would kind of set up how they want to see the babies and when they want to have the babies come back and how to follow them. And that varies by physician to physician. There are some physicians who have the any NICU baby and twins especially come back every single month just to kind of check in to make sure they're doing and eating okay and gaining weight. There are some physicians that put them on the immunization schedule. So they'll have the babies come in at the 2-month, at the 4-month, and the 6-month when they're supposed to get their normal immunizations. So it can really just vary between your own personal pediatrician.
Okay, so we know, and actually I remember once my twins were born, I think it was even before the first week, like I think they said within the first maybe 48 hours, I had to go in and see, first 2 days, is that? I had to go in and see the doctor, and it may have been because they were preterm. I mean, is that typically?
Yes, all our NICU babies have to see the doctor within the first 2 days. And okay, our doctors actually, our neonatologists actually call the doctor personally and talk to the doctors and let them know they're coming.
Okay. Yeah, that was the first experience that we had. And I remember, because I have 2 older boys, and I don't remember it being that fast, but that's probably why. When my girls were released, I think, they had started to lose some weight. They were both born at about 5.5 pounds, somewhere around there, but they started to lose, you know, and I think a couple days after, you know, they were, you know, lost maybe 0.5 pound or something like that. And so I know we were closely monitoring them. So beyond that first appointment to kind of diagnose and see where the situation is, maybe we should break this down because you did mention some of the different people who typically sees the twins during those follow-up appointments. You keep going back to the primary care. Is that person always involved? For the pediatrician, I should say, I guess.
Not for the clinic. For the high-risk infant follow-up clinic, it is done through the hospital. So our hospital actually supports the clinic and runs the clinic. And the information at the end, the neonatologist will send that off to the doctor so the doctor is aware of what was found at the clinic visit.
Okay. Now, specific to twins, I'm assuming you're only, I mean, do you ever want to do, like, compare how one twin is doing against the other? You know, for example, if let's just say only one twin needed the NICU.
And that does happen to us sometimes. And we also have only one twin that comes into the clinic.
Okay.
So if one twin comes to the clinic, we usually tell the parent, bring the other one with you, just so that we can kind of gauge and look and make sure they're doing everything they're supposed to. It's hard because you always tell parents don't compare your babies, but when you have twins, how can you not compare them? They're sitting there side by side. And what we've found in the high-risk infant follow-up clinic is that there's usually one baby that is 1 or 2 weeks ahead of the other baby.
Okay.
And it's in different areas. You know, it could be like one baby kind of sits back and watches what's going on, and the other twin is the one that goes out there and does everything.
Yeah.
And it's pretty consistent with that. And so you'll find one baby that, or one twin that decides to talk sooner, but the other one decides to do their gross motor skills and crawl sooner. And it just kind of goes back and forth. So but by the time the twins are 6 months old, most of your parents, they tend to know. They'll know, like, oh, this is my observant one, or this is my go-getter.
And the moment you try to make those, like, classifications, then they change on you, because yes. I've already tried to do that. Like, oh, this is my outgoing one. And then it's like the other one hears. And it's like, wow, I better step up my game. So what typically happens during these appointments? Is it just monitoring? What typically happens?
The HRIF appointments are a lot more comprehensive than a normal doctor visit. And like I said, because we're at Tri-City, is very lucky that we have that multidisciplinary team, and we're the only ones in San Diego who offer that. We get to see a lot more, I think, and see the babies in a lot more depth, just because the professional knowledge is there. So our babies that come in would actually receive a full evaluation from what's called a Bayley screener. And this actually looks at how the baby's thinking. It also looks at how their babies are communicating with their parents. So, you know, do they understand what the parents are saying to them? And do the parents understand what the twins are saying back to the parents? And they consider that to be expressive and receptive language. The physical therapist would look at the fine and gross motor skills. They're going to look to see if they're rolling or crawling, walking, and then also looking at how they're playing with toys. You know, are they holding on to them, putting them in their mouths, or can they put a puzzle together? And they'll also look at their reflexes, their tone, strength, to make sure that it's the age that it should be for their adjusted age, for depending on how premature they were. The nurses will come in. They'll actually check the baby's weight, the length, their head circumference, and then they ask questions regarding the general health and well-being of the baby. They want to know how much the baby is sleeping and how well the baby's eating. Our social worker is involved, and she'll come and talk to the parents about the family dynamics, just to make sure that they can afford to take care of the babies and have all their needs met so that they can continue to care for their babies. And then our neonatologist, which the parents have met in the NICU, I think that's really nice because they know everybody who they're meeting. The neonatologist will come in and then do kind of his assessment on the baby, checking the heart and the ears, reflexes, and then that whole team gets to get together and kind of talk about the baby with the parents there. Talk about the baby with the parents, and then if there's any concerns or the parents have any concerns, all those things are addressed right at that time. And then say your baby is delayed in one area, we'll kind of decide at that time, okay, do they need services, or is there something that, you know, mom and dad can do at home, or we'll just look at what's best met for the baby's needs. And we'll actually even pull babies in for another clinic visit, say in 6 months. We're like, you know, this baby's right on the edge of doing what they should be doing. We're not really worried, but let's see them back in 6 months, because if they're not doing it in 6 months, then we'll want to get therapy. So we have some leeway in what all and how many visits we can give a baby.
Okay. All right. Now, all the people that involved in the scenario we just created, is that all part of like one appointment? Because I know one of the frustrating things for me is to see this specialist, I got to go on this day, and this specialist for this day. Like, how do you guys make that work?
We do see it. It's all done in one appointment, and it's all done within about an hour.
Wow.
So you have
teamwork.
Everybody there. Yeah, you have everybody there. Well, while we're playing with the babies, you have the social worker, the nurse talking to the mom and dad, and
okay.
It's all in one room, so everybody's together. So, you know, you can kind of watch and see what the babies are doing or what the infants are doing, you know, as you're getting information. If we need an interpreter, we have an interpreter who sits right there and kind of talks everybody through everything also.
And usually if we're talking about twins, both twins are in the room when that happens?
We do both twins together at the same time, because we have the speech therapist, and if physical therapist, we're able to kind of, one will see one baby while the other's seeing the other baby, and then you can kind of, you know,
right.
change places.
Right.
Or you can, if one baby's, you know, sleeping, then one baby can sleep while the other one's, you know, getting their assessment.
Sure.
And so it always works out.
Okay. And how often did you say these appointments are needed?
We do 3 appointments within 3 years. So the first appointment's going to be somewhere between 6 to 8 months. The second appointment's going to be between 10 and 16 months. And then the third appointment's going to be between 18 and 36 months.
Okay. And now, are they going to these appointments in addition to what they would do, like with a regular, you know, if this was a singleton pregnancy or a baby that didn't require extra stuff, are they still doing their regular pediatrician appointments, or is this in lieu?
No, this is, they keep their regular pediatrician appointments. Okay. This is a whole separate set of appointments. It's a whole different schedule.
Okay.
So we've had parents that take the twins to the doctor the day before, and we have them that sometimes the 6 months happens the day after.
Okay.
And we don't do any immunization, so they still need to see their primary care.
Okay, gotcha.
Our reports are all sent to the primary care physician, though, so that the primary care physician is in the loop of what we found in our reports.
Okay. Now, I know we mentioned that if parents need some extra support at home, that there might be nurses or care providers that could help. What does that typically look like? Can you give us some insight on, you know, how much time, or does it just depend on the babies and their needs, or what does it look like?
I think it's very dependent on the babies and their needs, and our social worker is more involved with that aspect of their care, so I'm not really sure how that works or how much they do. I do know there are therapy services out there if the baby does require physical or occupational therapy that does go into the home, because there are some babies that if they're really small, we don't want them coming out of the home as much to go to visits. So there are therapy services that are provided in the home.
Okay. And I'm assuming, you know, in having these appointments and following these babies, you guys have had some really good results. You know, you were telling me earlier about, you know, how much babies that come out of the NICU really need all that extra support. What are some of the numbers? What can you share with us?
The only number I can think of off the top of my head is, because I looked back at it a while back, is, you know, how many kids we refer out. And I think within the 3 years that I had been there, we only 19% of our babies actually required any extra special services, whether it be physical therapy or speech therapy. I think that, you know, we're very lucky at Tri-City that we have a very close, small NICU, and we run a very developmentally, developmental care for our NICU is really kind of a big thing in there. So our babies are really taken care of well from the very beginning.
I love that that service is available, and for California residents, and specifically at Tri-City. A lot of the people that listen to our show aren't necessarily in California. If they don't have a high-risk infant follow-up program in their area, can you provide any idea of what options might be available to them, or what typically happens?
You know, trust your gut. You're a mom.
Yeah.
So, you know, and if you have twins and one's doing something and the other one's not within that 2 week to 1 month period, then you have concerns and you know that. So
right.
I would act on those. You can get individualized evaluations. So, you know, if the baby's not crawling, you could go see a physical therapist or ask your primary care for that referral. If they're not talking, you know, you'd go ask first a speech therapy evaluation. So there's things that individually you can ask your primary care physician for, and then he can refer you out to see a specialist just for a screening. You know, you don't have to have the full evaluation, but it doesn't hurt to go talk to a specialist just to make sure. And sometimes you have to be very persistent. I have a son that was born on that autistic spectrum, so I understand fully that, you know, when the physicians kind of look at you like, oh, well, I don't really think you need to worry about it. You can wait. If you're a mom, it's in your gut, you know, okay, just be a little more persistent.
Okay. Karen, thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate all the information. For more information about this topic, or if you want to learn a little bit more about Karen, you can visit the episode page on our website at newmommymedia.com. This conversation continues for members of the Twin Talks Club. In the extra bonus content, Karen will give us some tips for friends and family who want to help families whose twins have recently been released from the NICU. So for more information about our club, you can visit the members section of our website. All right, we have a funny twin oops story for you guys today. This comes from Wendy. And Wendy says, I have got a good one. Not too long ago either. My girls were in their playroom being awfully quiet. You all know what that means. So I walked over to see what was going on. Brooke had had a handful of her own poop, and Haley was running around with just a shirt on. Her pants and diaper were nowhere to be found. So my dilemma was, who to deal with first, Miss Poopy Hands or the one running around naked. I opted for Miss Poopy Hands because she seemed much more dangerous. All right. Well, thanks so much for sharing that story with us. If you guys have a funny twin oops you want to share with our audience, please send us an email, or you can also contact us through our voicemail, which is 619-866-4775. That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Twin Talks. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals, for expecting parents, and our show, The Boob Group, for moms who breastfeed their babies, as well as Parent Savers, your parenting resource on the go. This is Twin Talks, parenting times two.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.